From NPR, it's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the Top. This week from Atlanta Symphony Hall at the Woodruff Art Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Our lineup of outstanding young musicians includes the fabulous Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra performing Wagner. And roving reporter Taja Coleman-Jones talks opera with a kid who basically grew up at the Met. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, renowned concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks very much. Welcome, everybody. It's great to be back with all your smiling faces here in Atlanta. Just love coming back here. We want to thank our hosts for this show, the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and Young Audiences Woodruff Arts Center. Now, the Atlanta Symphony has an especially close relationship with its youth orchestra, as we'll learn. So what better way to celebrate doing a show from Atlanta Symphony Hall than to hear the power of Wagner played by that great group of talented kids? Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra. Maestro Jerry Flint, the conductor of this terrific band, is at the microphone. Jerry, give me the numbers. How many kids are crammed on stage right now behind us, and what's the age range?
Well, we have 120 high school students, and they all are high school students. The ages range from 13 to 18.
So, Jerry, give me the inside on this. Okay. How do you keep 120 Atlanteans in line every week?
Well, we have a secret here, Chris. We feed them lots and lots of pizza.
Pizza. Sort of that sugar low, that cheese,
right.
Sort of sits in their gut and calms them down.
It just calms them right down. Yeah.
That's great, man. Good. Obviously, you're doing something right because this orchestra sounds fantastic. Tell us about this very familiar Wagner we're going to hear.
Well, we're going to play the prelude to Act 3 of Lohengrin by Richard Wagner. It's a really barn burner piece. Many orchestras use it to open a concert, and I think that hopefully the audience will love this one.
Quintessential concert opener. Great idea, Maestro. Take it from the top.
Thank you.
the awesome Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra, their conductor Jerry Flint playing the Lohengrin Prelude. Just fantastic performance. Joining me to talk for a bit are Elizabeth Ehrlich, a violinist, Clara Yang, a flutist, and Ibanda Ruhumbika, a tuba player. All are 17 years old. Ibanda, I would have to say Wagner favored the low brass pretty happily.
He likes some brass, yeah.
In your unbiased opinion.
He loves brass, so you're always writing good stuff, so it's really fun to play.
And now, as a tuba player, enlighten me. Wagner was responsible for the invention of a new tuba?
Well, actually, Adolf Sax, he invented it, this thing
Adolf
called the Wagner
Sax
tuba.
As in?
Yeah, the inventor of the saxophone. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
And so he combined elements of the French horn and the tuba, then he brought it to Wagner, and Wagner liked it, so he put it on the ring cycle, and then... Wagner tuba, so yeah.
It has to feel really good to play stuff like that wonderful main theme, you know, where you really get into it.
It's really manly, yeah.
Sort of testosterone heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys give each other high fives after you do that one, or probably don't have time?
Oh yeah, we try.
Try. You know, Ibanda, I would love to hear that passage again. Would you mind indulging me?
I'll see what I can do.
Really? You would do it? Thanks, man. Ibanda, you run back to the orchestra while I talk to Elizabeth and Clara. Elizabeth, this orchestra had an interesting experience doing a little Milli Vanilli this year, right?
Yes. A while back, we were asked to perform for the halftime show at the Falcons game at the Georgia Dome. And so there was one problem, though. There are not very many of us, and there are a whole lot of fans in the Georgia Dome. And so it's very, very loud. It's one of the loudest experiences I've ever had.
Wow.
And so they would never hear us if it was just us. So we actually made a recording beforehand, and they actually played the recording along with us, or actually we played along with the recording. So
you were lip syncing or bow syncing, you would call it, I guess.
The whole orchestra went to the game. We watched the first half of the game, then they put us, we walked out onto the field. We stood on the field for a while and actually got to watch the players, and they were absolutely huge, these big football players, and it was really exciting being on the field with the Atlanta Falcons, and we just kind of were lined up all excited, and they gave us 45 seconds to get on and then 45 seconds to get off, and we did it, and it was fine, and we got on, and no instruments were broken. And
no wardrobe mishaps?
No, none whatsoever. And the best part to me, though, was how into it Jerry got. Even though he wasn't really conducting us, he just was, his arms were flailing everywhere, and he was so excited to be there. And even though it was a recording, and nobody could hear us, so it didn't really matter what we were playing. So
how frustrating for him,
I think he enjoyed it.
Putting
I
his
think
heart
he
into it.
It.
Clara, actually, I hear Jerry is a really good sport about doing all kinds of wacky things.
Yeah,
like
he really
that.
Is. Last year, we actually had a Christmas concert, and it incorporated dancers and singers and actors, and Jerry had to actually act, and that was pretty interesting. But he didn't make it awkward at all. He was very, into it, and I think he really, gave the audience a good time. So
nice.
Yeah.
And the kids all love it.
The kids loved it. We were playing. Santa Claus Comes to Town, right? And Santa Claus comes in this huge sleigh, And all the kids, kids are like, "Oh my God, hi Santa Claus!" It was just so cute. They enjoyed it a lot. It was awesome.
So nice.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Ibanda is back in his chair. Guys, let her rip.
One, two, one, two.
Very, very impressive, you guys. Elizabeth and Clara kind of makes a violinist and a flutist a little jealous, doesn't it?
No. Woodwinds rock.
No. Woodwinds. No. Strings. Strings.
Denial, I think. Denial.
No.
Nice
no.
job, Ibanda, but it's no surprise that you could lead a group like you just did. You're always putting little groups together for all kinds of things, yeah?
Yeah, I always love playing chamber music and stuff, and so I always try to get together with some people here, just play chamber music because we're surrounded by good musicians, so whenever you get the chance, you always try.
Yeah.
My mom always gets in my case, too, because I always buy way too much music for my own good. So.
But, even, you guys have these long rehearsals, and, of course, Jerry was telling me you guys get pizza at your rehearsal breaks. I understand that you're missing some of the pizza because you're playing music sometimes in the breaks.
What pizza?
See? Terrible. It's good for you, though, Ibanda. Clara, one of the great things about this orchestra is that it's an integral part of the Atlanta Symphony Organization. So you guys even have sectionals with the Atlanta Symphony players.
Right. We actually, the flutes, we work with Paul Brinton, who is one of the ASO flute players. He has a reputation for being tough.
Is that hard? I mean, is it something that you know...
Needless to say, they're pretty scary, so, you know, sometimes I'm scared of them, but, you know, we're all we just give each other looks when we, you know, hear that we have sectionals with Paul. But, you know, he's very specific, you know, about what he wants, mm-hmm. and I think it's good for us. It's actually good for us, but he gets scary. But, you know, it's worth it at the end because it makes us better musicians. And he has a pink Razor phone, which, you know, tones down the scariness
Sweet.
A little bit.
Sweet. All right. It kind of takes the edge off.
Yeah.
Can't really have that much tough love with a pink Razor, really. Elizabeth, your sectionals are tough, too, in the violins.
Yeah, they are. I'm in the first violin section, and our sectionals are spent absolutely dreading playing stand by stand, which is when Ken Wagner looks at your stand and says, okay, you two, show us how it's done. And you just are on your own, and the two of you just kind of have to.
No hiding.
You just, yeah, exactly. So no matter where you sit, you can't hide anywhere. So you just got to be prepared all the time. It's
so,
scary,
Ivanda,
scary.
You must quake in fear at sectionals too, yeah?
Yeah, not really. No.
Really?
Yeah. I remember the first sectional, we had the principal tuba from the ASO, Michael Moore, comes and does the sectionals for us. So, seeing as we're in the best section ever, the low brass section. So he came in the first day,
whatever.
And he came in, his hair was all crazy and wild. I think he had just gotten off a motorbike because he had his helmet in his other arm. Mm-hmm. And so he came in, and then we was just a cool guy, and just we were playing through stuff, and he told us to play something one way. We played it, and out of nowhere, he pulled out an Easy Button from the Staples commercial.
That was easy.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
Cool. So it's sort of laid back down in the low brass. These sectionals are all working. You're making great, great music together.
Thanks.
In fact, we're very psyched that you're going to be playing at the end of the show. You guys psyched for that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Excited.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Members of the Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra, Elizabeth Ehrlich, Clara Yang, and Ivanda Ruhumbika, all 17 years old.
It's easy to see a From the Top show live. Go to our website, fromthetop.org, and check out live concert tapings to see when we're coming to a town near you. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E. Chris.
That was easy.
I'll put it away now, Joanne.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Joanne. We're now going to scale things down a bit to the sound of the single human voice. Please welcome, from New York City, 16-year-old tenor James Danner. Jamie, welcome to Atlanta. While I go back over to the piano, why don't you tell everybody what you're going to sing and maybe a little bit about what the song tells.
I'm going to be singing an art song by Charles Gounod, and it's entitled Où voulez-vous aller? And in English, that means, where would you like to go? So the song's in the style of a French dance. It's very lighthearted and upbeat, and it's about me asking, really, my girlfriend where she would like to go, where in the world. And the punchline is, she asked me to take her to the River of Fidelity, and I tell her that doesn't exist in love.
Sera fin. mer pacifique dans l'île de Java ou bien dans la Norvège cueillir la fleur de neige ou la fleur d'oxoca.
Our 16-year-old tenor, James Danner from New York City, singing Charles Gounod. What a beautiful song and so beautifully sung.
Thank you.
You have such a light and sweet quality to your voice. It's really effervescent. Just wonderful. Jamie, we're going to learn a little bit about you in this report filed by our 16-year-old roving reporter, Taja Coleman-Jones. She took you for soul food to the Atlanta landmark restaurant, the Busy Bee Cafe.
This is going to be great. Actually, this is new to me,
yeah,
so
no,
I hear
really
you're
good.
A total foodie. You like love food.
Yeah.
All right, so you ready to look at the menu?
Oh, yeah.
See
yeah.
what they've got going on here? And I know New York has got some great shishi restaurants, and I know you do that sometimes. You're not always the upper-class fancy restaurants, but I thought this would just be a great place, you know, to start in Atlanta, some soul food, you know, nothing too over the top. So you look and see anything you like?
Yeah. Fried chicken looks really good.
Fried
I love
chicken.
Fried chicken. Good food is just one of the best things in the world.
Hi. Hello, I'm Jackie. Welcome to Busy Bee Cafe. I'm going to be your server today. May I take your order, please? Everything here is good, fresh, and delicious. All the vegetables are cooked in smoked turkey. You can't go wrong with anything. Everything is good. You would think your mother and grandmother is in the kitchen. Everything is good. So.
Can I have the smothered chicken? White, please.
Do you have any like hobbies like with food, around food, or working with food? Is there?
I mean, well, I do make ice cream, and I'm hoping to sell that actually later later in the school year when it starts to get hotter up in New York. Mm-hmm. But I also write food reviews for our school newspaper, so
nice.
That's a lot of fun. You know, I usually write a first-person story about. Generally, it's about the day actually that I've done that I've had. And the restaurant, describing the decor, the food, and they're usually you know pretty satirical,
right.
And I sort of adopt a bit of a persona.
Well, like, what do you look for when you do these restaurants? What is it that you know you look for as like a good restaurant when you rate them?
It's really about the experience, but it's about the food as well. And
yeah, let's hope
I mean,
so.
You know, let's hope so, exactly. So it depends on where you're going. I mean, if you're going to go to a really upscale restaurant,
right.
then it's a completely different story than if you go to,
something
you know,
local.
A cafe in Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, what's your feel on this place? You know, like, what do you think so far?
This is the sort of place that I really try and find in New York, even.
Yeah.
very because comfy. It's so comfy. It's down to earth. It's not full of pretense.
Here's your fried chicken, white meat with your collards and your candy yams, and your smothered chicken, corn and yams. Enjoy your meal.
Thank you so much.
It looks so good. Delicious.
Thank you.
This looks so good.
Yeah, it does. Like, whew. Oh, the yams, which I must have. These are so good. These are ridiculous.
Let me try.
So, now that we've got some food in our system, how do you think? You like the yams?
They're amazing.
Sweet. Ah. tell me about opera. Like, I've never seen an opera, and every time I, like, picture an opera, I think of, like,
a Viking
people,
lady?
Yeah, singing in, like, Italian, like, hitting notes I could never, like, imagine hitting. And it's just crazy. Like, and I've never met anybody my age who I've heard has been so, like, kind of passionate about opera. Well, I've never been to an opera, so just let me know.
Personally, opera's been sort of is already a lifelong passion. Right. I've been singing since I was 5 at the Metropolitan Opera.
Wait a minute. You've sung at the Metropolitan Opera?
Yeah. Well,
is this like an ongoing thing? Was it once? Was it twice? Because that's
no,
like huge.
I started singing when I was 5.
So you've been in the Met? The Met chorus?
The children's chorus.
Children's chorus.
The Met has their own adult chorus, but there's a separate children's chorus.
For children like under 18?
It's until you're over the hill. until as a guy your voice changes, as a girl you start not looking like a kid anymore.
Did your voice change? Or you...
My voice changed quite late, actually. So I was singing until I was 15. And then when I was 9, I auditioned and I had my first solo, which was in Pelléas and Mélisande, which is an opera by Debussy.
We've been talking entirely too much. We've been talking a lot that we haven't even gotten to really taste our food. I've been over here, like, making crumbs on myself. But you, tell me how the fried chicken is. We'll both take a bite at the same time, okay?
Okay.
Oh, you cheated.
Sorry. Oh, it's so good.
It's really good. It's really crispy.
It's really crispy.
Which I like.
And
light. And you even have the gravy on yours.
I know. I love gravy. So it's so crispy and light and delicious.
How would you rate this meal?
Perfect.
This, yeah. This is great. Like, out of 5, like, I would give this a 5.
Yes.
This is awesome.
It's unbelievable.
I'm definitely coming to New York. We're going to exchange numbers, do the whole thing. I'm coming to New York. You're taking me to an opera.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Maybe I might treat you to some food.
Nice story. Really good. So you give the Busy Bee, what, thumbs up, would you say?
Yeah, 2 thumbs up. Definitely.
Jamie, I wanted to ask you about the schizophrenic life of a 16-year-old tenor. I mean, because absolutely, I mean, you just... Within the last 2 years, you've gone from being a boy soprano to being a tenor. I mean, first of all, we have to say that, you know, the voice doesn't really, you know, develop at age 16. I mean, you know, when will we have, like, a fully developed voice? I mean, or do you ever know?
Well, you never really know until it happens, but because it depends person to person.
Yeah.
But generally, 25.
Wow.
You don't really start singing professionally as an opera singer until you're 30.
So do you go through a period where, you know, where your voice is cracking and it's, you know, you just take a couple of years off, or do you sing through it, or what do you do?
A lot of my friends' voices shattered, but mine didn't. Mine just sort of slid into a lower range.
So tenor land, yeah.
It was really nice. So I could, you know, start right in, start relearning how to sing, reapplying everything that I learned, you know, in 10 years. Now I have to do it again.
And luckily you've had great teachers, and
I know,
so they're with you every step of the way.
Amazing teachers.
Do you think, you know, do you think you'll end up as a tenor or a baritone or
whichever, just so long it's one or the other?
I think so.
Most of my teachers have, you know, are guessing that I'm going to be a tenor.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll put our money on you staying a tenor. I just think you've got a beautiful sound and a great attitude, and it's really been great having you on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jamie. Jamie Danner, 16-year-old tenor from New York City. We've got another New York kid up next, a young pianist studying with the great Veda Kaplinsky at Juilliard. Please welcome 16-year-old Yuqing Meng. Yuching, you've brought us a piece we've never had on the program, and it's by a composer we've never had on the program. I've never heard of him. Tell everybody what it's going to be.
I will be playing York Bowen Toccata, Opus 155.
Not. Yuching Meng, 16-year-old pianist from Madison, New Jersey, playing this now, this York Bowen Toccata. I mean, this sounds like just like the latest and greatest, most brilliant piece of piano music. I mean, you know, back in the day, you know, when Prokofiev Toccata was the thing. I mean, is everybody in Madame Kaplinsky's studio working on this piece now?
Some of them have, yes.
Yeah. Can't imagine anybody playing it any better than you, though.
That's very, very good, quite
brilliant. And not only congratulations due to that brilliant performance, but you were recently the overall winner of the Blunt Slauson competition this year. Tell us about that and where that was.
Well, it was a really great competition. It took place in Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama, and it consisted of two rounds, a preliminary and then a final. And there were 9 finalists and also 9 judges, and I received first place.
That's fantastic, Tchaikovsky. And so how much was the prize for that?
$10,000 and nice. A performance with the orchestra, Montgomery Symphony Orchestra, that'd and a chance to appear on From the Top.
Well. And I'm proud to say we're doubling your money. We're giving you one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Awards, another $10,000 grant. So congratulations there. Now, Yuching, you've just won this mega competition, but isn't your famous teacher, Veda Kaplinsky, sort of against competition in general? I mean, how does she feel about this?
Well, she feels that as musicians, you should enter competitions with the correct mindset. You shouldn't be devastated if you don't make it into semifinals or just don't win, because you know competitions, sometimes they're fair, sometimes they're not. You can never expect what happens.
Lots of variables.
So you know, you just always have a good positive attitude, and if you fail this time, well, try next time. Maybe you'll do better.
Yeah, and the learning. I mean, the work that you're doing with Madame Kaplinsky is probably the most important thing. This Toccata was just brilliant. We're so glad you brought it for us.
Thank you,
Yuching. Thank you very much. Yuching Meng, 16-year-old pianist from Madison, New Jersey.
Welcome back to the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week we're broadcasting from Atlanta Symphony Hall at the Woodruff Arts Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Coming up, a 14-year-old cellist from Illinois plays Rachmaninoff, and we'll hear again from the Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Our Atlanta performance is made possible by a collaborative sponsorship from the Woodruff Arts Center. The Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra is presented by GE Energy. Special thanks to WABE and Georgia Public Broadcasting. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Joining us now is a 17-year-old violinist from Summerfield, North Carolina. Please welcome Stephanie Collins. Stephanie, welcome. Why don't you tell everybody what we're going to play together?
We will be playing William Bolcom's Graceful Ghost Rag. Thank you.
Stephanie Collins, 17-year-old violinist from Summerfield, North Carolina, in a beautiful and bittersweet performance of the beautiful Graceful Ghost Rag by William Baulkham. So glad you brought that. It's such a phenomenal piece.
Thank you so much.
You really have such a great flavor for
Thank
it.
Thank you.
It's great. Now, speaking of ghosts, 2 years ago, you had a very scary experience.
Yes, I did. 2 years ago, my appendix ruptured, and I had actually just gotten back from touring with North Carolina Symphony and Mid-Atlantic Symphony, and I had already missed about 2 weeks of school, and I got back, and I was just feeling extremely exhausted and thinking that it was just from all of the traveling and performing, and I fell asleep on the way home, and my parents thought that was extremely strange for me because I'm usually a night owl and up late doing homework and practicing and whatnot, and I just kept feeling worse and worse as the night went on, and my parents took me to the emergency room, and my appendix had already ruptured by the time I got there. And
it's life-threatening.
Yes.
I mean, that's a big, wow, gosh.
And the doctors didn't catch all the infection that was in my body, and I ended up having 2 more emergency surgeries because the fluid had, I kept getting abscesses, and the fluid had leaked into my chest cavity and filled my lungs. So.
Yikes. Scary, really scary.
Yes.
So how long were you in the hospital?
I was in the hospital for a little over 2 months, and I wasn't able to practice or anything while I was in the hospital, which was probably the most difficult part for me. So.
Well, for you in particular. I mean,
yes.
you couldn't raise the violin up for 2 months because, in fact, you love to practice. I mean,
yes.
Since a really, really early age, you love to practice. When did you start?
I started, my mom is a violinist, and I started violin when I was 1 year old.
That's because, a good start.
Because I had just seen my mom teaching as long as I could remember, and I would just sit in complete awe of her students, and finally I begged her for a violin of my own, and as soon as I got the violin, I started practicing about 10 hours a day, because my mom would have to teach lessons, and at that point she would make me put my violin away, and I would actually throw temper tantrums when she would take my violin away from me, so...
And still, you love practicing now?
Yes, I really enjoy trying to work out my problems and get everything performance ready. So.
Well, I don't think you're loving practicing is so weird, but I'm just sitting here listening to you thinking how much money we could make if we could bottle whatever it is that makes you totally on your own want to practice. I mean, I'm talking about millions.
Man, I hate this! The stupid piano.
Got a kid at home who's taking music lessons?
Mom, I already practiced for like 5 minutes.
Chances are getting your child to practice is a real struggle. That's why Johnson & Johnson is proud to announce Stephanie in a can. Now, teaching a positive attitude about practicing is just one spray away.
The friendly chemist from Johnson & Johnson came to my house one day and drilled 3 harmless holes in my skull. They scraped around for a while, went back to the lab, and voila! I'm not as bright as I was before, but hey, I'm getting royalties.
Man, I hate this!
Hold the can at least 18 inches away.
Hey! What are you doing? What's that? Get away from me!
And you won't believe the results.
Oh, Mother, I'm experiencing the onset of a robust work ethic that I want to apply to my life in general. I'll be done practicing in 3 hours, and well, gee, I'd be happy to help around the house when I'm through.
That's Stephanie in a can. New from Johnson & Johnson.
About millions, I'm thinking billions. Oh, sorry, Stephanie, great to hear this fabulous rag by Bill Baulkham, and really great to meet you.
Thank you.
Get to know you a little bit. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Stephanie Collins, 17-year-old violinist from Summerfield, North Carolina, and our roving reporter, Taja Coleman-Jones, as the reluctant piano student.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at npr.org/podcasts. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org. Chris.
Our next performer is an outstanding 14-year-old cellist from Wilmette, Illinois. Please welcome Gabe Cabezas. Gabe, would you please introduce the piece we're going to play together?
We're going to be playing the third movement from Rachmaninoff's Sonata in G minor. Thank you.
Gabe Cabezas, our 14-year-old cellist from Wilmette, Illinois, playing Rachmaninoff. I'll tell you, that's one of my favorite pieces for cello and piano ever. Thank you so much for playing it for us and with me. Great pleasure playing it with you.
Thank you.
We've got all kind of winners today. You, young man, just won the Sphinx competition, which is the competition for Black and Latino string players. So congratulations. And that's led to all kinds of things. Where have you been playing as a result?
I've been able to play concerts in Florida twice with the Florida Symphony and the New World Symphony. I also was very lucky and got to play with Cleveland Orchestra a couple months ago.
Fantastic. Wow, tell us about that concert in Cleveland.
It was overall a very intimidating experience. I mean, the hall itself is named Severance, so...
Severance Hall, I mean...
And on top of that, my warm-up room was the old office of their most famous music director, George Sell. So there was his baton and a bust of him and photographs of him with very famous people, including Arthur Rubinstein. And I think there was one of him in Rostropovich. I can't remember.
Sure.
It was very intimidating.
Yeah. It's a great room. All of his scores, everything that he ever worked on. Nice piano, too, right?
Oh, yes. They didn't really want me touching it that much. I know if it was used as a piano room, you'd probably be able to play it.
I've actually played on it. It's a nice piano. Sorry I wasn't there. We could have played the Rachmaninoff then.
Course.
But anyway, what did you play when you were in
Cleveland? I played the Saint-Saëns Concerto.
Fantastic. So you've been traveling all over the place like a real pro. And how do you like life on the road as a cellist?
I like it, except for taking the cello on planes.
Yes.
See, you have to buy the ticket, and then the security guards look at you weird, like you have a gun in there or something. And it's a whole complicated mess. You get up to the plane, and you're told, oh, you can't put it in the cabin. Whole bunch of things you have to tell. Oh, no. The person listed as cello as their first name is not a real person. Although it is a senior citizen, so we can take the discount.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right, because it's a fairly old instrument, isn't
it? Yes, I think it's about 73 years old, 1934. It's old enough.
Yeah. So you can still get the discount.
Yeah.
Good for you, Gabe. Really great hearing you, and congratulations on all your success. We look forward to much more from you. Gabe Cabezas, ladies and gentlemen, 14 years old. From Wilmette, Illinois. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back the Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra. Maestro Jerry Flint is back with us. Jerry, tell us about this piece.
Well, we're going to end on kind of a lighthearted mood tonight with a piece by Don Gillis, a 20th century American composer, wrote a lot about the Southwest, actually. And this piece he calls a symphony, well, we don't know, is it Symphony X or if it's Symphony 10, because he always had kind of his tongue in his cheek.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Great way to go out. It is a wonderful piece, uplifting, cheerful. I want to thank all of our young performers today and thank you for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Jerry and the Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra. You can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. The music producer is Tom Vinieri, and the tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Kim Razeman, and our technical director is Barrett Ouellette, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. Orchestra mix by Fred Horton. Our lighting designer is Tori Sweetser. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is made possible in part by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Our program is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.